All right, John chapter 12. Do you know where you were this time, January the 1st, 2009? We're right here. Did you know that? We were on a Thursday night right here together. I preached out of Acts, the salvation of heathens. The last day of the year. The last day. That's what I want to talk about. The last day of the year, like the first day of the year, tends to be a day of reflection and a day of looking ahead. And like the first day and the last day, a person's first words and their last words tend to be carry the greatest of all weight. This text here in John 12 is the last public sermon from the Lord Jesus Christ to the Jews. This is the last day He would talk to them publicly, and these are the last words He would preach to them publicly. And as He speaks these last words on this last day, He speaks of the Word in the last day. Now imagine if this was the last day, right here, right now, that Christ Jesus would speak to you. Would you hear Him? Would you pay attention and listen? Will you pay attention and listen? He says here in John 12:44, Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. If any man hear my words, and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him, the word that I have spoken. The same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, He gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that His commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore. Even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. The first thing we see here is the manner in which Christ preached. This word declares the importance of believing Him and the word He speaks. It says here in verse 44, Jesus cried and said, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke with boldness and with earnestness. Urgency. Boldness and urgency. The scriptures say that, Proverbs says, doth not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. Here's wisdom himself. Here's understanding personified himself. And He's speaking one message of the gospel to everyone that can hear Him, no matter who they are, what their standing is, what their status is, or who they are. He's preaching this one message to them. And He's urging sinners to take heed to this one word that's able to save from darkness and death. Now, He spoke this word in this manner because of who sent Him and what these words meant. He's here speaking as the prophet. This is the prophet that the Lord said told Moses to tell the people, I'm going to raise up unto you a prophet like Moses, and he's going to tell you all things. Well, here he stands, and here he stands speaking. And the reason he spoke like this is because there in verse 49 he says, I've not spoken of myself. He said, the Father sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know Just like every believing pastor, every believing preacher knows. He knows. He believes God. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I know that His commandment, my Father's commandment, is life everlasting. These are the words of eternal life, He said. And I know they are. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak it. The Lord Jesus trusted His Father who sent Him. He trusted Him. And just as His ambassadors trust Christ who sends them. And just as He was not ashamed of the doctrine of His Father, His ambassadors are not ashamed of His doctrine, of Christ's doctrine. And get this now. Be sure you get this. If I thought God was too weak to save you, then I would present this gospel to you in such a way that would leave it up to you. That would leave you dependent to do something, or me to do something for you, if I thought it was dependent upon me or you. That's how I'd present it to you. But because I've seen the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus, because I've experienced the power and wisdom of God in the high calling, in the calling of God who called me by His grace, I've got to just say what Christ sent me to say in the words He sent me to say of me. And that's what He's saying. I came to tell you the words my Father sent me to tell you. For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. The word is ashamed. Won't be. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. Because I believe Him. I know Him. So that's the first thing. You know this word's important. By the way, He said, the Master, the prophet said, I'm speaking what the Father sent me to speak. So then that comes to the second point. Believing on Jesus Christ means that you won't abide in darkness anymore. Now look here in verse 44. He said, He that believeth on me believeth not on me, that is, not only on me, but on Him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth Him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. God is light. That's God is light. And Christ Jesus is sent forth a light. He's the light of the world. And He sent forth a light, the light of God. And in God is no darkness at all. No darkness. Jesus Christ, the man, is God the Son. He's equal with the Father in power and in glory, and He's the light of the world. And He's sent forth to bear light. Three things these scriptures teach us from cover to cover. This is the law of God. This is the Word of God right here. Jesus Christ is the righteousness of perfection that God requires of those that He gave to His Son. He requires a perfect nature. Jesus Christ is that one. He's the righteousness of the perfection that God requires. Jesus Christ is the righteousness of the perfect fidelity, the faithfulness that God requires of all those He put in Christ. He's the perfect faithful one. And you got to be perfectly faithful to come into God's presence. And Jesus Christ is the righteousness of the law. The righteousness of the law is the righteousness of mercy and love and long-suffering and compassion and all in perfect harmony with God's justice. That's why you and me can't do it. That's the righteousness of the law. And Christ Jesus not only fulfill that righteousness by laying down His life out of love for God and love for His brethren. And at the same while He's doing it, perfectly fulfilling the righteousness of the law. Perfect love for God, perfect love for His brethren. Perfect self-denial of Himself before God and perfect self-denial of Himself before His brethren. With no respect of perfectly desiring for two opposing parties to be made one, even if it cost Him His life. You can't do that. That's the righteousness of the law. That's perfect love. That's perfect faith. That's perfect long-suffering. Perfect patience. Perfect trust. perfect mercy, perfect long-suffering, perfect justice, all done and perfectly holy. That's Him. And that's what you got to have to enter into God's presence. And this perfection and this fidelity, this holy righteousness is the very glory of who God is. And when God makes you to see Christ, when you're made by the Spirit to see Christ, the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus, it's like looking into the sun in the middle of high noon. You're going to see light when you see Him. Because in Him there's no darkness. No darkness. He's the brightness of God's glory, the express image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Father. And when you see Him, you're going to have light. You'll have light. And when you're given faith to believe on Christ, to see Christ with the eye of faith, it's impossible not to have this light. Many saw Him. Many saw Him with the natural eye and claimed to believe on Him. Many heard Him. Many believed Him with the natural mind. But they didn't have the light. You know how? They wouldn't speak of Him plainly in public. They wouldn't do it. Look up at verse 42. Among the chief rulers also many believed on Him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. They didn't have the light. They professed they did, but they really didn't. Why? How do you know that, Clay? How do you know that for sure? Because He says, "Whosoever believeth on Me shall not abide in darkness." You're not going to hide away in a corner. You're not going to hide it away in darkness if you know this one. You're going to say you know Him and you trust Him and you believe Him. Why? Because you know Him, you trust Him, and you believe Him. That's why. You know, if I was to walk out here tonight, just walk out the doors out here, and I started walking along, and I said, "Man, look at how that sun's shining." And I described the sun to you, and I described everything it looked like and everything about it, just the way it is. Just the way it is. You'd still know He's blind as a bat. It's dark all around us. It'd be absurd for me to say I'm walking in light when I'm in darkness. It'd be absurd for somebody to say that we walk in darkness when we're in the light of the sun. We can't walk in darkness and be in Christ. We can't be in darkness, abide in darkness, live in darkness, stay in darkness when we're in Him. When God gives faith, there's not a remote possibility that you're going to do anything other than bow and confess Christ. Not a possibility. You're not going to debate anymore about who He is. You're not going to compromise anymore about who He is. You're going to proclaim, "Look, I might not know all the ins and outs that you know, but I know this, Christ is the eternal righteousness that I have to enter into glory, into God's presence, and I trust Him completely. I'm not adding, God won't accept anything but Christ Jesus. Anything more, and He certainly won't accept anything less than His Son. And He's the only one I'm trusting in." And everyone who's ever seen this light of God in the face of Christ Jesus, that's what they've done. They've bowed to Him. Go through Scriptures and search it. Everyone that's seen this glory in the face of Christ Jesus, bow to Him and worship Him. Every one of them. What a comfort for the believer. Isn't that an assurance for you who trust Him? You won't abide in darkness. He says in another place, "He that followeth Me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." That's more sure than thinking that the sun, the S-U-N, is going to come up tomorrow. That's a more sure word than if I sat here and said, tomorrow you'll have the light of the S-U-N. You might not. You might not. But this one, when he says you shall have the light, you shall have the light of life. Now, he said this word with boldness and with urgency because these words are eternal life. And then secondly, he said that faith in Him means no darkness. Believing on Christ, we believe God. We see Christ. We see God. We'll have perpetual light. You have God in Christ. Now, here's the third thing. Christ is not the reason some of you are sitting here under condemnation. Not at all. Verse 47. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He's saying, I don't condemn him. I'm not going to condemn him. Because I didn't come here at this time to condemn men. I came here to save men. But now here's, listen. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I've spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. The word of God doesn't allow any neutral ground. None. Not at all. Either you're going to you believe on Christ that He is the very person and righteousness that God requires of you. That God will take nothing less than perfect nature, perfect faithfulness, and the righteousness of His Son. Or you reject Christ and you will not receive His words. There's no middle ground. No middle ground. You don't receive His words to be true. You're yet attempting to come another way, to come some other way to God. Or you're attempting to come with Christ plus something of your own holiness. Only the Word of truth, only the Word of truth can sanctify us. Listen to me. Only the Word of truth can sanctify a believer from adding his own holiness to the holiness of Christ. That's what we got to be sanctified from adding our own holiness to Him who is perfectly holy. We got to be sanctified from that. But, now, he says here, but you who don't believe, everyone who does not believe, Christ is not the reason you're under condemnation. He said, I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Look at John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 17. God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. That's not why He sent. That's the same word, judge. He said, I didn't come to condemn the world. He didn't send His Son to condemn the world. But that the world, and anytime you see this word world, you got to remember the Jews only thought the Jews were the elect of God. They only thought they were the chosen children of God. When the Lord Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, a master in Israel, a teacher in Israel, who thought the elect were just in the nation of Israel, period. And the Lord Jesus is saying, no, I have an elect people. Salvation is by grace, no doubt about that. But it is among Jew and Gentile. And so He uses this word, world. That's what the Jews considered the world to be outside of their realm, the Gentiles. And He said, I came to save an elect chosen people among Jew and Gentile. But now, let's stick with the thing we're looking at. But he says, he that believeth on Christ is not condemned. But he that believeth not, he's condemned already. He's condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Every sinner was condemned when Christ came. We were condemned when Christ came. You were condemned before you ever began to hear the word of truth. And the proof of it is when Christ the truth came in person, we wouldn't receive Him, we wouldn't hear Him, we wouldn't believe Him. It's proof of the condemnation. Now look here in John 3:19. Listen to the Lord Jesus Christ define the condemnation. Here's the condemnation. Here it is. Here's the evil. Now listen to this. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. This is the evil you are doing right now who don't trust Christ. And here's how you do it. Verse 19. This is the condemnation. Here it is. That light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil, here's how he does it now. Everyone that doeth evil, here's how it's done. He hateth the light, neither cometh to the light. Why not? Lest his deeds should be reproved. Hold your place here. Get this now. Be sure you get this. All men do what their nature determines they will do. That's what Christ is teaching in the context of John chapter 3. Nicodemus was a master. If you saw him walk around in all his masterly garb that he wore, you would say, now that's got to be a holy man right there. And the Lord is meeting him and saying, you got all the outward evidence of somebody that knows God, but you don't know anything. This is evil. Everything you're doing is evil. You don't know God. You can't see God until God gives you a new nature. You got to be born of God. You can't see Him till then. And so the natural man is conceived with an evil nature. We saw this last time. And so therefore he does evil. That's what he does is evil. This is the evil. He hates Christ the light. That's the evil. He hates Christ the light. He won't come to Christ the light. That's the evil. Because he doesn't want his deeds, his very being. He doesn't want the very what he is to be revealed. Because what our deeds are is the it comes from what we are in the heart, in nature, in conception. Evil. He don't want his deeds to be reproved as being evil. And the reason he doesn't want that, the confusion and the shame of sin won't allow him to admit he's a sinner. The confusion and the shame of sin convinces him he's made himself something God will receive. And deep down, the self-made, self-righteous man knows his refuge is all a refuge of lies. He knows it because he doesn't have peace. He's always having to do something else to try to patch it up. He's always having to work and toilsome and tiresome, trying to do something to keep up the facade of righteousness, to fool himself, to soothe his own conscience, to make up for last night and the day before. He's got to do something new today and tomorrow and the next day to keep. And it's just a never-ending treadmill and tiresome, heavy, burdensome, evil, binding burden on him constantly. But the confusion of shame and sin makes it so. He loves that burden. And he hates Christ. With just a look, that whole burden would be gone. But he will not, he cannot say, I need some help. I need a Savior. He's too proud. He's too arrogant. He can't do it. And that's the condemnation. And the reason that this Word is going to be the judge is because the Word went forth clearly, simply, truthfully, plainly, and you would not receive it. And it shows the proof. You're condemned. You're condemned. But now look at this. Listen to what it is to do truth, verse 21. What do you think, before we read this, what comes to mind when you hear doing truth? Is it a wide, broad spectrum of things that you think of, and your mind kind of runs through the fields of all things religious and all things that you've heard and seen and been taught that sounds real good to you? Let's narrow it down. Let's narrow it down to what God says it is. Okay, let's narrow it down. This is Christ Jesus speaking. This is Him talking. Let's narrow it down to what He says it is. Verse 21. He that doeth truth cometh to light. Why? Who's the light? He said, I'm the light. That's what our text said. He said, I'm the light. He that does truth, how does he do it? He comes to the light. He that does evil, how does he do it? He won't come to the light. He that does truth comes to the light. Why? That his deeds may be made known. He that does evil won't come to the light because he don't want his deeds reproved. This one that does truth comes, he wants his deeds to be made known. What is that? That they're worked in God. The evil man won't come because he don't want to find out that all the works that he's worked in himself are evil. The man that does truth comes to Christ the light because he wants God in everybody to know that he's trusting that all his works have been worked in God, in Christ Jesus the righteous. He's regenerated. He's got a new nature. He's been born of incorruptible seed now. Not corrupted seed of his earthly father, but of God the Father, of the everlasting Father, Christ Jesus the second Adam. He's been born of the incorruptible Word, the incorruptible seed, and he's one with Christ the truth. And because he's one with Christ the truth, he does the truth. Every man does what his nature is. You ever seen a chicken? You ever seen a deer go out and eat roadkill? Ever seen a buzzard go out and graze grass like a deer? They do what their nature is. And until God puts a new nature in you, you're going to do what your nature is. But once he's put this nature in, the conscience is purged and the sinner is freed in liberty. He's given faith. He's given repentance. He's made a rejoice in Christ. And he's ashamed now of those fig leaves that he thought was righteousness and that God would accept. He's ashamed of it. And now he rejoices in Christ Jesus the Lord. And now he can say to everybody, I want everybody to know, my works are wrought in God. What do you mean by that? I mean God was in Christ reconciling me to Christ, to God, not imputing my trespasses unto me. He's made Him sin for me who knew no sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Not me. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. I've been born of Him. He abides in me, and I abide in Him. We're one. And the life that I now live, I live by His fidelity. I live because He was the holiness and the righteousness and the perfection that God demands because of who He is. I've seen who He is, and I saw Him in Christ. And I live by His faith, by His faith, by His faith. The faith of Him who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's where my works are wrought, in Him. And I don't frustrate the grace of God anymore. I used to. When I wouldn't come to the light, when I loved that binding bondage and tormenting hell that I was in, I wouldn't come to Him because I didn't want those things that I hated myself and hated in religion and hated in all men religious. I hated it myself in them. I didn't like to be around religious people. They're just a bunch of haughty, stuck-up, arrogant, holier-than-thou people. And I hated it in them, but I was just like them. I was just like them because I didn't want to have a thing in the world to do with Christ. I didn't want to say my deeds were evil. I didn't want anybody knowing my deeds were evil. I was just like them. And I hated them, and be honest, they hated me too. Oh, we sat arm in arm in the pew and buttered, rubbed shoulders and acted like we loved one another and walked off saying, I can't stand that old crotchety. That's exactly what we thought in our heart. Until God opened our eyes and made us to see Christ Jesus the righteous. And then we said, now, I don't frustrate to His grace anymore, because if righteousness come by the law, that is, if righteousness, acceptance, total, completely, from beginning to end, acceptance with God comes by anything I've done, Christ Jesus, the Lord God Almighty, died in vain. You ready to meet God and for His Word to say, it's not my son's fault. It's not the preacher's fault. I sent my messenger. I sent my son. I sent my prophets. I gave my word. He declared it. His ambassadors declared it. It set forth plainly. The reason you wouldn't believe is because you counted the blood of my son to be vanity. That's what we say when we won't believe Him and receive His word. Vanity. Vanity. That's what we're saying to God. But those that have been born of Him and have come into this liberty, look at Romans 8. Look at Romans 8 with me. Oh, this shows you. This shows you just how thoroughly, completely, upside down and ignorant we are in sin until God makes Christ our light. Right here. Because we hear all this and we're going to hang on to something that we did that's holiness. That we can add to what Christ did. And that's going to keep us out of God's presence. And it's going to keep us toiling and running and striving and doing and never having enough because we just won't trust Christ. And here's how insane it is that we'll hang on to that little shred of something and never have this peace. Because when you just let go of everything else and just cast all your care, A to Z, beginning to end, thought, word, deed, nature, perfection, everything God requires into the hands of Christ and say, I am totally and thoroughly trusting You alone. All the burden, all the burden is off you. All the rest is off you. And here's the insanity that we're in. This is what Christ is telling us is the commandment of God. And we won't do it. But those who have, by His grace, look, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's not something you strive to do. That's what you're going to do if the Spirit enters into you. You're not going. He says later, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of Christ dwells in you. You're going to walk after the Spirit. Why? Because the law of the Spirit, this is the law of life, the law of liberty, the perfection of holiness. This is the law. This is the new birth. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. It's freed me. For what the law couldn't do. Nothing wrong with it, but it was weak through the flesh, through me. I couldn't do it. So God sent His own Son in the likeness of my sinful flesh, and for my sin, He condemned sin in His flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. No condemnation. It's gone. Scott and I were talking about this the other day. You know, in the garden, when God gave Adam one law, And you know what's amazing? I looked at the notes that I preached January the 1st, 2009. And I said this very thing that me and you were talking about just the other night in those notes. But it's basically this. Before Adam fell in the garden, when God gave that one law, not to take of the fruit, Adam wasn't under that law. That law wasn't Adam's rule of life. That law had nothing to do with Adam. Because Adam was made upright, he was made in righteousness. Adam's rule was his law. Adam's ruler was God. He walked with God and he talked with God in the garden. When he came under the law is when he disobeyed God. Because the law, beforehand, the law had nothing to say to him because the law wasn't made for a righteous man. But then when he broke it, he went under the law. And then when God gave 615 some odd laws to Moses, it was to show the great, great offense to God in the breaking of that one law in the garden. So that you won't dare think there's any possibility that you can come, you can make amends, atonement, satisfaction, bring yourself back into God by anything of that law. And when Christ comes and he gives you liberty, you know what he does? He brings you right back to where Adam was before he ever sinned in the garden. Now that law has nothing whatsoever to say to you. Because you're walking with God and you're talking with Christ who is your rule of life. But you got something even better than what Adam had. Because he's eternal God who came and wrought this work on your behalf. You can't ever fall now. You shall have the light and you shall have it forever. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Now we learn from that law. We can look at it and learn what we are by nature. We can look at it and see. And on the flip side of how horrible we are, we can look at it and see how righteous our God is. That He fulfilled it in every dot, every dash, every comma, period, and punctuation mark. He fulfilled the whole thing. But if we think that we're going to use that to somehow make ourselves better than what Christ makes His people, that one thought or act or deed of righteousness that we're holding on to and putting confidence in, that one little thing is too wide and too broad for you to get in the narrow way and the straight gate. You can't get in with that righteousness. That's what you're going to have to be saved from, is that righteousness. Now, he says, the word I've spoken to you, back in John 12, he said, the word I've spoken, this is the word that's going to judge you in the last day. And here's why. If you meet God in that last day, not believing on Christ alone, your refusal to receive His word will be the clarion proof that in that last day that you are the reason for your own condemnation. You love light and you hate it. You love darkness and you hated light. That'll be that's how His word will judge you. Here was light, and you loved darkness and hated light. That's what it's going to say. And here's just as the when you believe Christ and you see Christ and you trust Christ, and it's all the more great because when you see Him, you see the Father. When you believe on Him, you believe the Father. Well, just on the flip side of that, it's going to be all the more greater condemnation because when you rejected Him, you rejected the Father. When you rejected His word, you rejected the Father's word. Read verse 49. That's what he says. For I've not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, He gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that His commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. And that's why it's going to be all the more condemning. It's why it's all the more glorious when we believe Him, but it's why it's all the more condemning when we don't. Now let me apply this. We're here in the last few hours, the last day. of 2009. This is where we were January 1st, 2009. Same time we were right here. Now here we are the last day, December 31st, 2009. We started this year here, we're ending it here. Now all year, you've had Christ's words readily available to you. We've met here two times a week, somewhere around 104 times that we've met here. The Scriptures have been read by these men for your hearing. The Scriptures, the Word of God, multiple times, every time we meet. Around 155 sermons have gone forth from this pulpit right here. And there's been time for you to search His Word at home, wherever you are, to seek His face. Between that first day and this last day, have you used it wisely? From the first day of this year until this one, have you heard the Lord Jesus Christ speak? Have you believed on Him? Have you received His words? Or have you rejected Christ and not received His words? For you who don't believe, Christ has suffered long with your rejection of Him for 364 days and about 20 hours this year. Today's Thursday, December the 31st, 2009, the last day. Now, what if this was the last day? And I'm not trying to scare you, but what I am doing is this. I want you to realize we don't have any guarantee in this life of when the last day will be. For us personally, we don't have any guarantee of when our last day will be, the last day of our life. I was speaking with the kids this week, and I mentioned to them about how that we need to go down and take a walk in the cemetery just to open up your eyes to this, just to see this, to get in touch with your own mortality and see. You'll see a lot of graves there that are 5 feet to 6 feet long. But you'll also find plenty of graves there that are 1 foot long, 2 foot long, 3 foot long, 4 feet long, 5 feet long, all different sizes. I know that His commandment is life everlasting. I know that His commandment is life everlasting. I know that His commandment is life everlasting. This is the record. This is the commandment. This is the Word. This is the Word from cover to cover. This is the Word. This is the record. God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Give yourself to the words which Christ speaks. These are the words of eternal life. These are the words that will point you to Christ. These are the words whereby the Father teaches you of Christ, draws you to Christ, makes you alive in Christ through the Holy Spirit. These are the words. I would look into these words, because if you want to meet God in the law, you're going to have to be a mighty good lawyer. And you need to search long and hard to at least find your loophole. To at least, because this is the Word that's going to judge you right here. This is the Word. If I knew the play that my opponent was running, I'd study that play, wouldn't you? Well, this is going to be the play that your opponent's going to use when you come into his presence outside of his son. I'd study it and learn it and sign out. Maybe, as you do so, God will give you grace to see the light. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. We're all looking forward to tomorrow. And if tomorrow comes, it'll be a new day, a new year, all new things as far as this life is concerned. But if He doesn't come, if tomorrow doesn't come, everything's going to be new tomorrow. All things are going to be new tomorrow. Everything. Study this Word. Give yourself to this Word as if this is the last day and the last time Christ will speak to you. This was the last day and the last time that Christ spoke to them in John 12 in our text. Give yourself to it like this is the last day, the last words that He'll speak. Can you? Can you? Make yourself. At least look into it. Look into it. And see what He says. All right.